Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here with Otto, but there's nothing I can do. I prefer when Otto lies in the other direction so you can see his gorgeous face, his handsome face, but he chooses what he wants, so you've pretty much got his tush for a half hour. Unless he swaps positions. Anyway, welcome to the Fireside Chat, number
215.
Wow. I do wow every week. I hate being predictable like that. I don't mind being predictable in my values, but style, what can I do? Anyway, hi, everybody. Great to be with you. And I want to remind you that this Fireside Chat brings to your attention Dallas Baptist University. It's a comprehensive Christian nationally ranked university with a mission to produce the next generation of servant leaders. DBU graduates are men and women of a deep faith who strive to reflect the values of genuine patriotism. They can be found leading in the classrooms, courtrooms, boardrooms, and beyond throughout our country and around the world. To learn more about the value of a DBU education and how you or your student may be eligible to receive a $1,000 scholarship, visit PragerU.com/DBU, Dallas Baptist University. PragerU.com/DBU. Okay. I want to take a lot of questions today, but I will offer you some thoughts on things that are happening. I don't normally talk about news items because this is not that sort of thing. That is the this being the Fireside Chat. The Fireside Chat is thoughts that I have about life, basically, and taking your questions. It's all spontaneous. There's no teleprompter. Nothing's written out. But two big items occurred, and I'd just like to offer very quick thoughts on both. One was the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. So this was a 17-year-old young man. Nearly all of you know this, probably even those of you not in the United States. During the terrible riots in his city in Wisconsin, what was the name again? City in Wisconsin?
Kenosha.
So he is, his father was living in Kenosha. He has a great deal of contact there. He lives in a suburb, or the Kenosha is the suburb of where he lives in Illinois. It's right on the border. Anyway, he has a lot to do with this little city, relatively little in the country, but medium size in Wisconsin. It had terrible riots, not just protests, not just demonstrations, but riots. If you see videos of what was happening last summer in Kenosha, Wisconsin, You will see burned vehicles, smashed stores, looted stores. I mean, it was chaos. And the police did nothing because they were ordered to do nothing. Wherever Democrats are in charge, generally police do nothing during riots. Why that is a subject for perhaps another occasion, but it's just the way it is. Because the rioters are on their side politically, perhaps. They're their voters, so they don't want to suppress them. If the rioters were, as they almost never are, on the right, then they would be profoundly suppressed. That is how it works in the United States now, which is a less free country than at any time in its history. So this boy went to protect a storage unit or an auto dealer, I think. And he went to help get rid of graffiti, to help people who might be hurt in the demonstrations, even if they were on the other side. He wants to be a nurse. He's a good kid. You're allowed at his age, 17, to carry a gun. And he did. I don't know how else you protect a place that people are going to come and vandalize. If just standing there means you'll either be ignored or beaten up. So he was attacked by a guy with a horrible record of He was in prison for almost 10 years, the guy, one of the guys that he ended up killing, for child rape. And he was screaming the N-word at people, which, of course, had it been on the other side, that's all you would hear about, had a right winger been screaming the N-word. But if a left winger does, the press ignores it. Because the press in the United States is not an honest press. It is the spokesperson of the Democratic Party and of the left. I say this with only sadness, but it is true as anything in life is true. This is a perfect example. How many people know that the guy, one of the guys he killed, was screaming at him and others the N-word? Anyway, he has a terrible record. He was a bad human being. If there's such a thing as a bad human being, and by the way, if you deny that there are bad human beings, then you're denying that there are good human beings. Just remember that. Anyone who says there are no bad people is also saying there are no good people. Right? Because it's a little absurd to say, oh, there are no bad people, but there are good people. Okay. So the people who were not good people, what term would you use to call them? Not good? Okay, I'll use not good. People sort of live in a make-believe world. Oh, there are no bad people. Of course there are. That's the tragedy of the human race, that there are more than a few bad people. Anyway, this guy tried to kill Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse shot him and killed him. Whoa. Was that Otto? That was a very serious sneeze. How are you? Oh, there he goes. He's wondering when his contract ends, because he leaves at a certain point, whether we're done or not. Otto, no, Otto, stay. Oh, stay, Otto. Oh, this is painful. Oh, yes, his mommy, my wife, said he's hungry. Okay, you probably heard the pitter-patter of Otto's feet. So this guy Rosenbaum tried to shoot Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse shot him, and he died. And similarly with the other individual, we have video. Otherwise, I suspect he would have been found guilty because the prosecution just would have kept saying, look, he killed innocent people. But we have so many videos of what happened that it is not a question. The people who say a 17-year-old shouldn't have a gun, first, 17-year-olds can even enlist in the armed forces. Secondly, if it was legal, it was legal. If you think 17-year-olds should not allow to have a gun, fine, change the law. But whatever he did was legal and moral. He didn't go to shoot anybody. He went to protect the place from being burned down. Now, why did he do that is a very important question. And the answer is because the police weren't guarding any places against arson. Here's a very important rule. If the police do not protect the innocent, civilians will protect the innocent. That is a rule of life as two and two is four. People do not allow anarchy. Some people want anarchy. They tend to be on the left, and they thrive on it, which is what all the riots in America were for months in the year 2020. There was chaos. That was anarchy. But if a lot of people do not thrive on anarchy, and if it exists, they will take protection into their own hands, and they are right to do so. I would. Wouldn't you? Is there anybody watching this video who would not protect their home or a friend's home if asked, if the police did not? And the police did not. Because it was a Democratic Party-run city and state. And in those cases, you don't protect yourself against left-wing protesters, or, excuse me, rioters. These are sad things for me to tell you. I don't find it a happy state of America that I am describing, but it is nevertheless true. He is a decent kid, did not seek trouble, sought to dispense with trouble. The rioters should have been in jail, not Rittenhouse. We live in an upside-down world where the rioters are not jailed, but a kid who just went to protect property and shot in self-defense, he went to jail. He was there, I think, for, two, three months? I don't remember the exact length of time. The other item I want to talk to you about is the mowing down of human beings with a man in an SUV. Man had a rap sheet of 10 crimes. He tried to run over his girlfriend, I think that day or the day before. I think it was that day. He had hate-filled lyrics of rap songs, pretty much hates whites, hates policemen, uses expletives to describe policemen. This was all on his Facebook or Twitter page, whichever one it is. And then goes out and mows down people, all of whom were white. But we're told repeatedly this was not an act of terror. It may not have been. But he obviously deliberately killed all these people. So the question is, did their being white play a role in the fact that he, a black man who hates whites, mowed them down? I don't know the answer. I do know this. If it was a white man who hated blacks, who mowed down five, at least at this time, five dead and dozens injured, some critically, this would have been the biggest news item in America, proof of how systemically racist America is, and it would undoubtedly have been called an act of racism and terror, which, by the way, it would have been. But it's completely dismissed that this might have been in any way race-based, despite what he had put on his internet pages. So we live in the world of the lie, where we deny what our eyes see and what our ears hear. What is the famous line from a Groucho Marx movie where he's caught in bed, his wife catches him in bed with another woman, and he immediately jumps. She's going, "What is going on here? What is going on here?" And as he's getting dressed, he goes, "You're going to believe me or your lying eyes?" That's what I feel is the motto of the left. You're going to believe us or your lying eyes? Our eyes have seen what happened. But the worst is this, and my final comment. This man was out on bail after 10 times being arrested. This man was out on bail for $1,000. I think, I don't remember the crime, but it was quite a serious crime. $1,000 bail. You know why? Because the district attorney, the people who set the bail, was one of those funded by George Soros, like in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Philadelphia, whose view is that virtually everyone in prison, especially a person of color, should not be in prison. And the fact that we allow out people who will do horrific things is fine with these people. He said so. The Daily Mail quoted him from years ago, saying, look, if this policy of letting people out of a prison or very low bail means that some people are going to get killed, then some people will get killed. It's a civil war in the United States of America. I hope it doesn't get more violent. I pray it doesn't. But I've been saying that there's a civil war in this country for many years. Liberals and conservatives have almost everything in common. Liberals vote for the left. That is the tragedy of the United States. But liberals and conservatives are the enemies of the left. The left is a destructive force. It has always been. Everything the left touches, it destroys, whether it is the justice system or sports or the arts or universities or high schools or elementary schools, everything. It is a purely destructive force. Why humans want to destroy what is good is a puzzle to those of us who love what is good. I don't understand it. I think it emanates, but I'm not absolutely certain. I think it emanates from secularism, affluence, and boredom. I think those are the ingredients of leftism. Secular, affluent, bored. It's a very, very difficult combination. Secular, because they have no religious meaning, so they develop a religious substitute. Whatever the ism of the left is, Marxism or feminism or environmentalism, these are all substitute religions for the death of Judeo-Christian values. Affluent, because they have it so good and they have so much time on their hands. If you have to work for lunch and dinner and breakfast and feed a family, you don't have time to riot. And you do have meaning in your life. Get food for my family. By the way, most of them are single. I might even want to add that. Secular, affluent, single, and bored. Boredom is a very toxic thing in life. Very toxic. So I think those are four of the ingredients that make such people. They are bored by the middle class values of that have made America strong. Graduate high school, get a job, get married, and have children. And get married before you have children. This drives them crazy. That is their nightmare. Such a boring life. I happen to find that very fulfilling. Taking care of a family has been the most meaningful thing in my life. There are many other meaningful things, but that's the most. Taking care of a family. That's how I was raised. That's what you do, Dennis. You get married, you have children, and you take care of all of them. It's very fulfilling. Not very easy all the time. It's easier to be single. It's easier to not have children. But I never sought an easy life. I don't want my tombstone to read, "Here lies Dennis Prager. He led an easy life." An easy life is almost never a fulfilled life. Okay. And now to your questions. Okey-doke.
Hi, Dennis. It's Scott from Rochester, New York. And my question to you this week is about autism. What are your thoughts on autism awareness versus autism acceptance? Should it be treated as a disability or just as a neurological difference? I'm seeing in many ways the left trying to take autism under the wing as an intersectionality point. And as someone who is autistic and conservative, I wonder what your thoughts are.
Well, that's an interesting series of questions. So part of it is not clear to me. I don't know what the left taking it under their wing as an intersectionality point means. So I'll just have to leave that for now. So let's see. What are your thoughts on autism awareness versus autism acceptance? Again, I'm not quite sure what that conflict is. There's very little awareness of autism among those who don't have someone autistic in their family. I do have someone autistic in my family, my stepson, who is, what is he? Let's see, he's in his late 30s. And he's been in my life most of his life. I married his mother, and he was about 8 years old or 9 years old. And he lives with us, so I interact with an autistic person. He could not he could not ask as coherent a question as you did. The spectrum of autism is so broad that it's an odd thing even to use the term. You have very little in common with my stepson. My stepson, on the other hand, is light years ahead of another person I know who's autistic who has to live in an institution. This woman cannot take care of herself in any way, whereas my stepson showers and shaves and prepares his own food and talks up a storm about politics and the weather and whatever else is on his mind. And he's somewhat of a delight to be with, actually. But he can't live on his own. I suspect you could. So there's no answer to anything about autism, since the spectrum is so broad. It goes from you asking this intelligent question with excellent vocabulary to this girl who's in an institution. And yet you're both autistic. It's almost a silly word to use. Maybe they should have autistic 1 to 10. So, you know, you might be 8 or 9. And she would be 2 or 1. So now about acceptance... acceptance versus, what did you put it? Awareness. I don't know what acceptance means. Do I accept my stepson's autism? What does that even mean? Do I wish he weren't? I wish he weren't. He loves life. If he were not autistic, only God knows how productive he would be and how fulfilled in life. I think he feels fulfilled now to the extent that he can, but that's another issue. So I don't even know what acceptance means in that sense. Let's see. And the other thing was, should it be treated as a disability or just as a neurological difference? It is what you think it is. You could answer that. I can't. But I could say, of course my stepson has a disability. And even if it's a neurological difference, it's a disability. I don't know why it's not a dirty word, disability. It's either true or not true. He is somewhat disabled compared to someone who has no autism. Okay. Thank you for calling in, as it were. Arthur, 15 years old in Recife, Brazil. Hey, Dennis, environmentalism has always been part of my life. My teacher once chose Al Gore as the theme for our classroom presentation at my school's cultural fair. Mind-blowing. One time I decided to watch other videos about climate change. That's how I discovered PragerU and opened my eyes beyond the doomsday predictions. Yes, by the way, for the record, we have never, ever denied that the Earth is getting warmer. We are, the left charges us because they hate how effective PragerU is. As the New York Times just wrote in passing, we're the titan of conservatives in the conservative world, which is true. And titan was their word. So they really loathe us because we're very honest. We're very sophisticated. We don't scream. We don't call names. We are very interested in things other than politics, like happiness, getting along with people, ethics, religion. But so they make up things, which is what they do all the time. They make up things that are not true. We don't deny that the Earth is getting warmer. We deny that there is an existential threat to humanity. Existential means the existence of. That is panic porn. That is intellectually and scientifically indefensible hysteria, which all it does is breed fear, and fear is a weapon. So that's what we believe. Okay, that's right. We open your eyes beyond the doomsday predictions. You got it right. But this question isn't about me, it's about my father. He is a strong Protestant Christian and conservative, but very climate alarmist. A while ago, he did a carbon footprint test and was shocked because as much as we are from a third world country, he said things like, we should consume less. And I tried to counter it with facts, but I don't think that this changed his mind. Any tips how to handle this? By the way, send a hi to Otto. I wish I could. Otto has marched out, probably to eat. So let's see. The question is what? Oh, yes. I tried to counter, you tried to counter your dad with facts, but that didn't change his mind. The number of people whose minds will be changed by facts is not large. Most people come to their conclusions emotionally. I wish people made up their mind with facts. You know how many years now people, Al Gore is the perfect example. Al Gore in 1990 said that he and others, if not he exactly, others in his camp, if we have 12 years, every 12 years we have 12 years, or it's an existential threat. As Bjorn Lomborg from Denmark, who writes on this, he's a statistician, and he writes on this regularly for the Wall Street Journal, and he's written books, and he's done PragerU videos, comes on my radio show. He really knows his stuff. You know how few people, a few thousand people a year die of heat? 100 years ago, the number of people who died from as a result of climate was so much larger. People were doing fine. But we're doing fine is like curse words to the board. What I said to you before, secular, affluent, and bored, that's exactly who make up the environmentalist movement. These are all very secular, not all. There are some people, like even the Pope, some religious people have joined it. But overwhelmingly, it is secular and affluent. These people are looking for meaning. And what gives you more meaning than saving the planet? How many people could say they've saved Earth? That's big. It's exciting. They're looking for excitement. I'm excited by life, by friends, by work, by travel, by love, by kids, by wife, friends. I mean, I feel such a rich life and a rich intellectual life, my music and my reading. I've never sought to save the world from an impending doom. I have a riddle in that regard. What do you call a religious person who says the end is near? A religious fanatic. What do you call a secular person who says the end is near? An environmentalist. What is our time?
We're at 29.
We're at 29. I don't think I have time for another question, which is too bad. Yeah, I got a good one from Australia. And other places. Well, I want to remind you, since I have about half a minute to go, I want to remind you that if you binge on the Fireside Chat, watch like 50 at a time, you'll be enriched. You'll be intellectually and even often emotionally enriched. And that goes back to the first one. These things are not dated. The points that I make, even if they're based on something happening then, are big points that are hopefully eternal. So I invite you to watch past versions or past episodes of the Fireside Chat. So until next week, I would thank you on behalf of Otto, but he left. But thank you for watching. See you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.